Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 4th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. Leftover Poppy, a.k.a. the OK Beast Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, Greg. Yeah. I'm doing excellent.
Excellent. That's a step up from usual. What's going on?
This cinema is happening.
Oh,
you know, a couple weeks ago, I saw John Wick 4 last night.
You're still riding that high.
I'm still riding. Oh, 1,000%. I'm still riding the John Wick 4 high.
Yeah.
Last night, got to see the Mario movie. Today, woke up to new trailers for both Barbie and Across the Spider-Verse. And yesterday had Blue Beetle. Yeah. And I'm so excited for movies this year.
Yeah.
Like, I had a great time with movies last year, but this year, there's something different in the water.
I have not had the chance to watch the Across the Spider-Verse. Is Shirtless Spider-Man in?
I've also not had a chance to watch the new. Okay. Yeah.
Are we doing reacts? Should we not watch it at this point, probably?
I mean, I would be down to do reacts.
Barrett, put in the Slack. Nobody watched the dumb thing till the thing happens with the react stuff.
Yeah, because that'd be a fun one. It's funny. I didn't have time to like watch all the stuff because I was doing KHD.
Yeah.
But I got to work this morning and I was like, all right, I got time for one trailer. And it was the Barbie trailer.
Barbie trailer.
I had to watch the Barbie trailer.
How was that?
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
They have a lot of people in that one. Like, they announced more of the casting. And John Cena's in it. Michael Cera's in it. Issa Rae's in it as President Barbie.
Simu's in it.
Simu Liu's in it. Like, they have such a stacked cast for it. And the, like, up until now, I've been wondering what the direction was going to be in terms of, like, you know, how bright is it going to be? What are the colors like? Like, what the fuck is this movie going to be? Like, every single piece of detail and news that we've gotten about the Barbie movie up until now has been, wow, it looks like they're nailing this thing in a way that is different and, like, aesthetically weird.
Yeah.
And you watch the trailer, and it's different and aesthetically weird, and I'm all about it. Like, not to mention Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, like, I'm all about this movie.
Yeah. Also, you're doing a low-key Chico cosplay for Metal Gear, which I appreciate.
Barrett, can you bring up Chico? I'm doing a Chico cosplay.
Yeah, you got the headphones hanging.
Oh,
out.
I didn't even notice I had the headphones.
Yeah. But really quick, I'll say you skipped over the most important movie news this morning.
What's that? Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Shrek 5 is in early talk.
Accidentally in love.
Greg, you strike me as a Shrek person.
Come on. I've seen the first one.
Only the first one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you do Shrek in review, would you be down to watch the rest? No? Have you seen the Puss in Boots movie?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Bless you. Didn't understand how little I enjoy watching things in general.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, I really like playing games. So anytime I'm watching something, it's just the look of the clock. Unless it's really good, unless it's a great wrestling documentary. How long until I can go play video games? You know,
I'm sure there's wrestling somewhere in these Shrek movies.
Oh yeah, no, there legitimately is. They have a ring, I think, in the first one where they do some stuff and they do some moves or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm gonna have some more.
Watch. I mean, I enjoyed Shrek fine. You know, it's just
As a kid,
five movies. Do you understand? You said Shrek 5.
And
there's a Puss in Boots. And there isn't there another?
Puss in Boots.
There's two Puss in Boots?
There's two Puss in Boots. The last Puss in Boots is like.
Do you know, I got to go see seven movies, 14 hours.
Seven excellent movies. These aren't Lord of the Rings, right? These aren't like second
Trek.
I'll show up for Shrek. Shrek's my boy. Shrek 1 and 2, fantastic films.
There's three Puss in Boots.
Somebody in chat says the three, but I've only seen the last one, if I'm being honest. I didn't see the other Puss in Boots movies. I couldn't be bothered.
Sure.
And honestly, I've only watched until Shrek 3. I don't think I've seen beyond Shrek 3. But like, Shrek 1, fucking great movie. Shrek 2, great movie. The last Puss in Boots, great movie. I'm sure if you watch the rest, they'll be just as good.
I mean, they might be. I don't, you know.
I feel like you should do it.
I feel like I should.
Yeah,
again, keep in mind, every time I sign up for an in-review, I eventually am like, why the fuck did I do this?
Oh, yeah.
God, I shouldn't have done this. X-Men, what a mistake.
Oh, my God.
Fast and Furious, I was in the theater so pissed off at the last one.
So
why the fuck am I here?
Are you not feeling the cinema hype? I feel like between last year.
No, not at all. No.
Wow. Yeah. What's your excitement level for Mario?
Oh, no.
Wow.
Thanks. It looks cute. I would love to watch it at home or on the back of a Virgin America airplane seat, but...
What about Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning? Does that do anything?
Remember, I haven't seen a Mission Impossible period.
Really?
And then once they did the thing where they wouldn't let Henry Cavill shave his mustache to go do the Justice League reshoots, I said, I have to protest this the rest of my life.
Wow, you really just hate movies.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Even like even the Blue Beetle thing I watched yesterday, I'm like, how are we at a point where sometimes green screen, so good, and sometimes green screen, I'm like, this is awful. You know what I mean? I understand COVID and everything else you had to overcome for this movie. But
You're complaining about the green screen in Blue Beetle.
Just specific. I watched it on my phone last night, so I haven't given it the full treatment. Gotcha. But there was one scene in particular where he's talking with like palm trees behind him. I was like, shit.
So as a DC fan, are you excited for Blue Beetle?
No, fuck no.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. What has DC done for me lately? You know what I mean? I love the fucking Trinity. I love Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. They're like, well, we'll fuck all of that into the ground. And then you're going to get two Suicide Squad movies, a Peacemaker show, the Blue Beetle.
So did you like John Cena's Peacemaker?
I did like Peacemaker. Exactly. I'm not saying like there's not things to enjoy.
Birds of Prey was good.
Yeah. Birds of Prey, I enjoy watching, but like, no, inevitably when I'm watching these, I'm like, oh man, I wish this was a Superman flick. Shazam, Wonder Woman shows up and they're like, oh fuck, why wasn't this a goddamn Wonder Woman movie? You know, come on. And of course, then none of this matters, or some of it matters. Who knows where we're going in the future?
As somebody, I'm somebody who hates most of the DCEU. Yeah. Blue Beetle looks fantastic. I'm all in.
I'm not saying it looks bad. I'm just like,
But you just don't care about Blue Beetle's character.
It's just like the amount of effort it takes to get to the movie theaters. And I'm not even saying, you know, I'm not doing the woe is me parent thing, even though that is a part of it, right? Mm. But it is like, just even before, it's just like, all right, well, you got to go do this thing. Well, you know,
I feel that.
I'd rather just be at home. Again, just day and day digital. We had them on the ropes, everybody, you know? COVID. I think we can all agree, not the best thing. You know what I mean? Mm. But there were some good parts to it. And it was watching these movie theaters, like, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. Start putting things out day and day digital. I'm like, yes, I will pay you the $25 to watch at home. Thank you.
But then, like, the whole
story. And then they're like, we'll rip this away. And not only will we rip this away, we will kidnap Nicole Kidman. And we will fucking torture this woman until she sits there and says to you, you need to do this.
Whenever Nicole Kidman pops up on the screen, now I've started to do, like, a salute. Like, it's the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, I think I might start standing up in theaters whenever she pops up. Because I get so high. Because
she's so scary.
I know, and I like had to obey.
She's so convincing. Looks directly into your soul at the end. I hate it.
Oh man, she's the best. She's the best, Barrett.
Aro in the chat there was talking about Greg's just a grumpy old man. No, I've been this way the whole time. No, yeah, I trust me, I'm fine. I'm good. You know what I mean? I mean, like, here's another crazy thing, and it's also just like, you know, there's a million things going on. You know, and again, life in general, but I'll chalk some of it up to being a parent. But I've talked about it, of like how much, you know, my time is budgeted and where I have to go, and I just want to play games and shit. Like, I still haven't seen Ant-Man. Now, granted, no one walked out of Ant-Man going, Greg, you got to go see Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's
but true. Until Tim's like, yo, you got to review Ant-Man, I'm just holding out hope I can get to the Disney Plus version. Just get me to Disney
Plus. If you
Plus.
Want a replacement on MCU in review, I'm down to come
back. No, I don't need your replacement. I love you. We should add
like, you. Guys, why not come you guys in messed up stuff. The Black Panther ranking. Oh, ever go. Since then, I've had... was it called iron to grit to
you've had an axe to grind.
Axe to grind. I was gonna say
iron in the fire.
An iron in the fire.
Axe to grind.
I've had an axe to grind with the in review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put me in there. Let me replace somebody.
I was talking about this on Greg Wave, of course, a show you can get patreon.com/kindoffunny where I do a Greg Wave vlog each and every day. I didn't do one yesterday, but I think we can all admit I was on three fucking shows after landing, coming back from LA. So today you'll get a double one. It'll be fine. But somebody's like, what about Superman? You know, how are you enjoying Superman and Lois, right? Mm-hmm. Our friend, of course, Bitsy, she's Lois. She was on We Have Cool Friends, all this stuff. Even and it's a good show. I like that version of Superman and Lois and everything. I haven't been able to keep up with that. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a big deal for me. Like, I like having my Sunday destination HBO show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Guess what? Last of Us, Succession. Gonna be 8 episodes and I'm done. Superman and Lois is like, what, 20 episodes or something? Or a season? It's like, all right.
Let me tell you about the show called Ted Lasso.
No.
It'll change your life.
No, I tried that. Didn't like that.
What?
Didn't like
what?
That.
Wow.
Way overhyped.
Wow.
Way overhyped.
Wow.
Jen and I both tried that. We got through 2 or 3 episodes. Like, we're good.
What?
It's fine.
I am speechless.
Oh, you know what? This doesn't surprise me, Bless. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Ted Lasso is just a live action anime, sports anime, you know?
Fair enough.
And Greg doesn't like anime. He doesn't respect it.
I can see where you're coming from. Well, I also don't know Ted Lasso is so wholesome in ways that anime doesn't even get to. Like, it's hard for me to imagine anybody watching
the end of
Ted
season
Lasso.
2 Ted Lasso is anime as fuck.
Right? Okay, that's fair. Actually, yeah, no, the ending is it's almost weirdly anime. The ending of season 2, but up until then, like, the show is so wholesome, it's so fun, it's so positive. I feel
anime?
Like a better person after watching Ted Lasso. You know,
I'm already a great person, so I don't need to.
I mean, that's a fair point. I mean? You know what I watched last night?
What's that?
I watched 3 episodes of the latest season of Family Guy.
Oh, how they doing?
I was missing Family Guy. I'm
sure,
like,
I love Family.
I've not seen a Family Guy in a long time.
Years.
Yeah, like maybe a decade.
I see a lot of TikToks of it. You know what I mean?
It is still good. Like I think at a certain point, I grew out of it.
Yeah.
Because I loved Family Guy all throughout high school. And then I think getting into college, I just started, I didn't appreciate it as much. I was just like, okay, yeah, it's not funny anymore. And I fell off of it real hard. And watching these episodes, I'm like, this latest season, I would say, is probably as good as the stuff back in the day. Like, this is good content. I don't know, maybe they got better, maybe it got bad and then got good. I don't know what the timeline is on that. But yeah, no, the new Family Guy stuff is great. Especially if you're in, it's still the same kind of humor. It's still the same. You can kind of predict what the jokes are because it is going to be weird ass references and then the cutaway and then
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
and then,
you know, like, Family Guy's going to be.
And it's going to be so self-referential. And it's like, oh yeah, this joke took us. It's like, okay, we understand that you guys, a comedy show that's self-aware. But
yeah,
it's funny. It's still good. Great. I still appreciate
that's
it.
That's good. I still like, when the TikTok clips come through, I'm like, that's how I consume most media now.
TikTok. You know,
it's the same thing. Guess who's a big Modern Family fan? Greg Miller. How many episodes of Modern Family have I watched? Zero. I just catch the TikTok clips and I'm like, this show is fucking hilarious.
I get that.
Now, would I ever stop my life to go watch this? To sit on the couch and do nothing but watch? No, I'm good. Thank you very much. I get all I need of their shenanigans on my phone. I'm like, this is a great ass show. This is a good TikTok show. See, Quibi ahead of its time.
I mean, you're not wrong, I guess.
Quibi should have just bought the rights to Modern Family and broken it up.
It's the same way that there's this podcast, and I could not tell you the name of this podcast, but I'm such a big fan of this podcast, even though I'm not listening to one episode, because of all the TikTok clips.
Sure.
It's two dudes. It might be called The Cave, or like the...
Two Bears, One Cave. Bert Kreischer and the comedian?
No. Okay. Let me look. I'll have to look up Bert. No, it's not Bert Kreischer. It's not him. No.
Okay.
It's like two younger dudes.
A podcast, but outside?
No.
Because I like a podcast, but outside from TikTok, and then I made the jump to listening to them in my car.
I mean, we also just recently talked about on the Next Gen podcast, fake podcasts.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure this is a real one because there's so much content.
Jen showed me one of her favorite fake podcasts last night on TikTok. These two women who were just talking about whatever. Mm-hmm. It was funny as hell.
Hell yeah, two women they're just talking about whatever.
Well, I mean, like there was they're manufacturing a fake podcast for TikTok clips. And it was this one that escalated to them talking about being in investments. But then as it goes on, it clearly becomes more and more about Monopoly. And then one of them has the monocle in and the mustache and the hat. And then it kept escalating. They're talking about greenhouses and,
That's the best. These two dudes that I'm talking about, they have Drake and Josh vibes. I don't know if that's going to give it away for people in chat, if you know what I'm talking about. But they've also, like, they've done bits about, like, usually one of the guys says something batshit insane. And the other guy is like, do you understand what you're saying? Like, do you understand? They have those kind of vibes. The Basement Yard. I think it's the Basement Yard.
Okay. Yeah, they're all saying
what you just described sounded like any conversation with Mike and Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, they have those vibes.
Great conversation between Mike and Andy on the Kinda Funny podcast. Of course, you can get that right now where we talk about all our WrestleMania stories over on YouTube.com/Kinda Funny. Podcast services around the globe, but more importantly, Patreon.com/Kinda Funny, where you could get it ad-free, just like you get this show ad-free. Speaking of all that, let's talk about Asus. A-S-U-S. We're gonna commit to Asus.
I'll say Asus.
We watched before we went live thinking we wouldn't spend 13 minutes talking about nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
We watched an interview.
And they said Asus, right?
I can't remember what they said.
Oh, they said Asus.
Asus?
Yeah.
We're saying Asus, everybody. If we're wrong, Asus, hit us up. Talking about Asus revealing a new Steam Deck competitor, PlayStation adding new accessibility options and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course. This is us each and every weekday running you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, of course, you should watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. That way, we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and, of course, listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Of course, plenty of ways to support us. If you want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and kick us a few bucks, you can get every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can watch us record the other podcast live in a day early. And of course, you can get dozens and dozens of exclusive episodes of content all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You want to go that extra mile when you're on the Epic Game Store? Use the creator code kindoffunny. Or of course, when you're checking out in Fortnite, playing something in Rocket League, wherever you can put in the Epic Store code kindoffunny. Please do. It means a lot to us. Then like, subscribe, and share for the show. Housekeeping. A brand new Kinda Funny podcast is up and all about our stories from WrestleMania. You can listen to me, Tim, Andy, and Mike talk about all the backstage shenanigans, who we met, and even Mike confessing to forging in a WrestleMania All Access pass for day two. Maybe not what I would have said on the show, but he did, and it's out there now, and we're fine. You can get that on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe under the Kinda Funny podcast moniker. Over on Patreon, April's premium collector's item is by at P Pink Spider Felix on Twitter. You can enter the Spider-Verse, kinda. You can grab this month's premium item over on Patreon. If you're an audio listener and can't see the tweet, of course, you can go anytime to kindoffunny.com/premium. That'll take you to show the premium item. You can see it here, though. It is, of course, shirtless Spider-Man, shirtless Spider, shirtless Miles Morales, and then a whole bunch of different Spider-Men and women that are inspired in some way by Kind of Funny, which is interesting because I know me and Bless take photos of shirtless Spider-Man and shirtless Miles Morales, but I don't feel like, why do we need, Joey's there? It's like, well, okay, I get it, I guess.
You want to get everybody involved.
It's Joey as, I forget which spider person that is.
Yeah, is that Silk or Madame Web? I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Madame Web, I think. Madame Web.
That's just not in our universe. It's not on our Earth, right, Greg? You know?
Sure, I get that. But it's like one of those things, if you look through, then you're like, okay, there's, Nick, and you can see the Kevin, you can see the cool Greg. It's just like, well, where's the Greg in Blessing representation?
And you wish I was included in this, but this is really cool.
We're not in this. You see what I say? Taking two very real Spider-Men and putting them in with a bunch of phonies, but I guess we'll get our just due another time.
Yeah.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Evil Dead Rise, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Rupert Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, Asus reveals its own Steam Deck competitor. This is Christina Alexander at IGN.com. Asus is developing its very first gaming handheld PC, the ROG Ally. Now, again, we'll stop right here. Is it ROG or ROG? It's all caps, so it's got to be ROG, right?
Are
they yelling wrong?
And it's like, it's an acronym. It stands for Rise Up Gamers.
Oh, okay.
That's not true.
I was gonna, wait, what are they? Like Rise Out Gamers, right?
Republic of Gamers is what I think it is.
All right. Well, it's called the ROG Ally, but I do like the ROG, so I'm gonna call it the ROG the rest of the way.
You have to yell it every time you say it.
The ROG Ally. Oh, let me try again. I'm sorry. Asus is developing its very first gaming handheld PC, the ROG Ally, to compete with the Steam Deck. Although the company released the trailer of the PC gaming handheld on April Fool's Day over the weekend, the PC gaming handheld is the real deal, and you can register to pre-order it from Best Buy. According to Asus, the Ally runs on Windows 11 and carries a customized APU developed by Asus and AMD to make it the fastest APU to optimize gameplay performance on the go. It also has dual fans that keep the handheld cool while running a graphically demanding game as quietly as possible. To further confirm that the Ally is a reality, or going to be, YouTuber Dave2D released a preview video where he took a deep dive into the specs, though not deep enough to give away the frame rate. The Ally has a 7-inch screen, just like the Steam Deck, but has a resolution of 1080p instead of 800p, and the display performance goes up to 120 hertz. The volume for its fan is 20 dB, that's decibels, right? On load, 17 decibels, there it is, lower than the Steam Deck, which runs the fans at 37 decibels. There's no word on when pre-orders for the ROG Ally will go live. Now, this is my first time looking at it. I didn't get to watch the trailer, so I'm sorry that I had to read through all that.
How do you feel about how it looks?
Sexy little handheld so far.
Yeah. I like how it looks. It almost gives more of a, not a high tech vibe. It's more designed, is what I'll say, right? Like, I think it is going for kind of a sexy, sleek look a bit. Even though it has that, but it also leans into.
Damn! Look at the fucking.
This is a PC device.
Yeah,
but yeah, it looks cool. Like, I'm all about it. I'm all about it also just for the idea of putting out more competitors.
100%
Steam Deck.
100%. Steam Deck definitely. I mean, I love my Steam Deck, and it's definitely found, a market for it. How big is that market remains to be seen, but as we were just talking about right on Games Daily recently, or maybe Gamescast, we were talking, first off, fuck that guy who acted like he forgot he had it in his pocket. His jacket's all being weighed down once, I have this thing I can play. It is the idea that I hope more people come to this. We talked about, oh man, it'd be great if PlayStation went to this. Even after we had our conversation, I'm sure before and after, there's been conversations like, yeah, PSVR 2 is fine, but what if they would have gone and made a handheld PS5? What if they were trying to unify their systems that way? Like, that is the dream in a lot of ways, right? Like, for me, going to Mania this weekend, I did have that moment of like, do I want my Switch? Do I want my Steam Deck? And I was like, honestly, I want my PS5. I'd like to play more WWE 2K23 on the road for it or whatever. But I can't do that, obviously. So I tossed the Switch in there. I didn't even touch it, of course. But tossed my backbone in there. I didn't touch that either. I didn't play anything, but it doesn't matter. It is the idea of like having that stuff on the go is great. And so, having more competitors to it. But the big question is, Bless, this is a market improvement, it would seem, over the Steam Deck in some ways, right? We'll see overall, blah, blah, blah. How much do you think this is going to cost?
I mean, it can't cost that much more than the Steam Deck. I think that's a big thing. The Steam Deck is so... the Steam Deck is already expensive, but for what you're getting with the Steam Deck, I think the convenience of having the Steam integration already there, having the power to be able to run games like Sekiro or run games like Elden Ring and all these big AAA games, right? Very convenient. Yeah. The ability to bring in mods or bring in emulation and different factors like that. I think that's a big thing too that works really well with the Steam Deck. I think the big thing is if this is going to cost more than the Steam Deck, are the improvements worth it, right? You're talking about 120 hertz, which is nice. You're talking about 1080p over 800p, but I think when you're looking at a screen that is small, right, a screen that is a handheld,
yeah,
how much of a factor does that become? Do people want to pay the extra price for that little bit of extra resolution? You know, I think that's a big thing. And then, yeah, like things like the fan volume, right? Like, is that a thing that is a big factor for people? Because for me, I know that was a thing that I noticed when I first got the Steam Deck of, wow, this fan is really loud.
Yeah.
After a while, I've forgotten about that, right? Like, when I play my Steam Deck now, I honestly don't really care about the fan that much. And, you know, that's me personally. And maybe that's going to change from person to person. But are these factors going to be big enough for wherever this comes price-wise? If this comes down at a 500, 600, I think that does become a competitive price. If this comes in at $800, $900, $1,000, then I think you're not going to be able to get the audience you want, because I think people look at the Steam Deck and go, oh, I'm just going to get the Steam Deck instead, especially if you're talking about possibly down the road more improvements and revisions to the Steam Deck. What does the Steam Deck 2 look like? When does the Steam Deck 2 come, right? What does that come with? Do we get an OLED screen? Do we get more power? There's a lot of factors out there that could create an environment in which this isn't able to perform as much as it needs to really stay and be successful in the space. But yeah, again, I like that the handheld space is opening up again. For a while there, it felt like handheld gaming was a thing of the past. Mobile gaming came through. The Vita.
Well, that's the best part, right? It's like, yeah, handheld, dedicated handheld gaming is a thing of the past.
Yes.
It seems.
Yeah.
What do people want? We want to just take our experiences with us on the go. You want the Switch was such an amazing idea. A great job on Nintendo for making it happen. You know, it's your console, it's your handheld, they're one thing. And so, that is the leg up to Steam if you want to go play your games on your PC, right? Of having the machine that can run at home with the highest specs and then put it on the go, or just have it on the go like I use it, or however it's going to be.
Yeah, so I love where we've gotten in the last, let's say, 5 years, right? Ever since the launch of the Switch and then the Steam Deck, and then seeing even Logitech try their thing with their cloud device that I don't think is taking off, but I like to see people trying,
and I
like seeing different companies enter the market with different ideas. And so I hope we're able to see more successful handhelds, because the more we see that, then I think the closer we get to PlayStation being like, yo, what if we did this instead? Like, what if we put out a handheld?
I mean, you have to imagine PlayStation's watching it. They understand the success of the PlayStation 5 is having, and that at some point, like just where we always talk about when you put out the PlayStation Pro, you're getting people who already own a PlayStation 5 to buy another PlayStation 5, which of course then increases the sales of the PlayStation 5, and you get closer and closer to it's the craziest number of all time for PlayStation. That same argument is made to the handheld, right?
Yeah.
And so the real equation you get down to is, when the PlayStation 5 can be that small, when it can be that cost effective, and if it's not too late in the generation. It's one of those things, of course, remember, like, you know, as a Sega kid, the Sega Nomad eventually came around, right, where I could plug my Genesis games into the Sega Nomad and play it on the go. But the problem was at that point, I was already moving away from the Genesis, right? Like, we were so late in that life cycle that it wasn't super appealing to me. And that's where you'd get here, I think, in a lot of ways, if PlayStation was to do it. Now, of course, the argument for both PlayStation and Xbox, I think, to doing this, to investing in this, to having a risk and having another SKU and having all this stuff is, well, we're going to keep doubling down on cloud gaming. We're going to keep doubling down on streaming. Because again, I tossed my Switch in my bag and I tossed my Backbone controller in my bag, with the thought being that if I am bored and actually have downtime at the hotel, slap the controller on and play remote play for my PlayStation 5, which again, can be hit or miss, especially with, you know, different Wi-Fis and speeds and yada, yada, yada. But at home, I adore it. I've played at hotels and been shocked at how good it does play, actually, that, you know, being a remote play back home to that. So there are those arguments, but that doesn't help me on a plane. That doesn't, and even still, like, for all of us that are, I would say, snobby to some degree about their experiences, right? Any bit of lag, any bit of whatever,
of course,
it ruins the experience. You don't want it.
Yeah, and I think that's where you see Logitech's thing not taking off in the way that they probably want it, right? Whereas something like this, I think, poses more promise. I'm very curious to see who else tries to enter the space. Like, I tried to look up just now to see if Epic had anything, because I think if you're talking about people who could pose a threat, I think what you would need are I think you need some kind of exclusivity or some kind of special something to offer your audience to make them go, oh, maybe I'll go here instead of here. So if Epic were to enter the space, and let's say they were able to have the Epic Game Store, and you need to build a lot of things on top of it, because I think the Epic Game Store right now still needs a bit more to even be a straight-up Steam competitor. But if you're able to have that, able to have the Epic goodness, right, maybe have, like, Fortnite run off of it easily, and if you're able to provide more options there, I think that could be cool. And then, yeah, to your point about PlayStation and Xbox and what their thing would be, I think cloud would probably be the strong bullet point there that they would want to make, but I still also think that they would need to make a piece of hardware that could run PS5 games natively or Xbox Series X games natively. And to do that, a handheld would be so expensive, right? Like, it's hard for me to think of a PlayStation, let's say a PlayStation Vita 2 that can play PS5 games natively, that would be under like $900,
exactly.
$1,000.
And that's the whole thing about it. And again, like, as we continue to escalate with Wi-Fi speeds and abilities that way, is it something you're hanging on to that hopefully in 5-10 years won't be as big of an issue?
Yeah. I'd be curious to see, like, and I would be curious to see a handheld, like, let's say if Epic launched a handheld, if they could then partner with Xbox to have Game Pass on their native, and see if that is a big or the big selling point there, right? I think those are the kind of deals you would need to make in order to make something that is competitive in the space. And again, I want to see that. I want to see people come through and make handheld gaming more competitive, because I want bigger and better hardware.
Warhawk says, God, I hope Xbox and PlayStation don't get in the handheld market. It would be such a waste of focus and resources. You're not wrong necessarily. You know what I mean? In terms of it, it's more about, like, if you could do it and boil it down and make it easy. And again, to get into the handheld market, as we're talking about here, we're not talking about a PlayStation Vita 2. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a PlayStation 5 portable. We're talking about taking your experience already and do it.
You have to do it in a way where
I would much rather have them investing their time and money in that than PlayStation VR 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'd have to do it in a way where you're not creating exclusive PlayStation Studios
100%
content.
We're not doing,
like,
that,
hey,
shit.
We're not having Insomniac making a handheld only game. No, you have to find a way to make Spider-Man 2 playable on that.
And again, it's like Steam Deck, right, where it's like, cool, we're bringing the resolution down, we're doing this thing, there's a whole bunch of this is in the same way. I here's what I would say. So clear the mechanism of everything we're talking about.
Yeah,
I think, what was it, 260,000 or 260,000 PlayStation VR 2 headsets, 250,000 PlayStation VR, right there. I think if you were to, in the same amount of time, if they had released a PlayStation 5 portable, they would have sold more of that than PlayStation VR 2. I think that that's a way more enticing proposition, and it is enticing to the hardcore gamer in a way, right? Where I think, so is PlayStation VR 2, but that's enticing to a hardcore gamer who's also interested in VR. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think if you're like, guess what? We're making a portable PlayStation 5 that is expensive and won't run your games at high resolution and yada yada yada, I still think you'd see a huge pickup from our segment, and I mean that everybody listening to this show, maybe not you listener right now, but I do think you would see so many of our friends that we see obsessed with tech and obsessed with their stuff get into that.
Do you think they would be able to do that at, let's say, if it came out at $1,000, right? Yeah. It's the PS5 portable. It came out at $1,000. Do you think it still outsells the VR2?
No, probably not.
I think that's the big challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, I think if you're not doing that, then you're doing a cloud handheld system, which comes with its own issues and problems. It's a weird space. I think if they were able to somehow put out a handheld that was $600, right, and like they put that out instead of PSVR2, then for sure that outsells. But I think you're talking about power and cost, and like where those two things
intersect
and balance.
And again, that's why, like, it's not happening, right? The PlayStation 5 is still humongous. When will it shrink down? Who knows? Well, we'll find out if it ever gets there and where it's ever going with that. Before we get out of here, kindoffunny.com/wrong, of course, to correct us as we go. New AJ says tirage someone in British slang means to insert something into their anal cavity. Well, that's great. In the United States of America, when we say Raj, we're thinking of What's Happening, the classic American sitcom, all right, with reruns. So I don't want to hear your shit. We don't care. You guys came over here, and you gave us the English language, and we've improved it, all right?
You're old, man. What was that reference?
What's Happening?
I'm glad you're with me, Bear. I thought we were joking on Raj Former over
in the... I thought that's where he was going to go.
That's who he's named after.
I thought we were trying to scare... Okay, Raj is not named after some sitcom character you just made up.
You don't think he's named after Raj from What's Happening?
You know his full name is Roger.
Well, so is Raj. Roger's full name is Roger.
Oh.
Him and Rerun are always hanging out with Dwayne. It's a great show. You should all go watch it.
Is this... I can't tell if this is a bit or not. Have you talked to Roger? Is he actually named after that character?
No, I just assume. Who else would name your kid Roger?
That's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you're not a What's Happening fan. And I think the timeline, first episode aired in 1976. So that, that times out. And don't forget, then there was What's Happening Now, which, of course, I only ever watched this in syndication as a child. So I'm not 100% sure how big of the gap was between What's Happening and What's Happening Now, because they were older than What's Happening Now. But, like, there's a lot of What's Happening content out there that you could find out about.
I don't know.
At the very least, go watch the opening. Go watch the opening to What's Happening.
I don't know if this is a real sitcom.
It is.
Or if you're like
it sounds real enough. He just made a reference to something that only Nick in the
office. Oh, he's right. It has two exclamation points in the title. Oh, what a cast.
Greg, you want to learn how we say this company's name?
There's no way this does not get his claim.
Oh, no, no.
But this is a jam, though.
Okay, I'm going to start talking
about this. We're done. We're stopping. Go watch What's Happening.
People in chat, bless it, doesn't know what's happening.
Learn yourself some stuff. And then, of course, another You're Wrong we got was, of course, from the one, the only, Radic from CD Projekt, who sent us in this one. It says, required watching here. The official ASUS North American YouTube channel offers a handy video on how to pronounce the company's name. Let's check it. Well, it's muted out here, so that's not helpful to me.
It's pronounced play on.
All right, hold on.
Here's what I'm always going to say. If you're going to make the company name and then have to make videos or, like, you know, how much I love Pot Cheese Pizza, you have to write it on the box.
Yeah.
Pronounced, maybe we should go back to the drawing board on what we're naming it.
1,000%. This will never
happen. This would be a great April Fool's from Radic if it was just a muted video.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. He, like, made the video himself. Called up his cousin, was like, hey, do a thing for me real quick.
Bear, you let us know when you have it running. We're going to move on to number two.
Raj and Fat Albert have the same catchphrase. Hey, hey, hey. Is that true?
It's true.
Raj say,
that's
hey?
True.
That's so good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Raj's so very skinny, though.
Okay.
Number two. And I think, I honestly think, too, there's a Family Guy bit about What's Happening. Not what I'm thinking about. Number two, accessibility tags roll out this week on PlayStation. We go to the PlayStation blog. As we strive to make gaming more accessible for all players, today we're excited to announce that accessibility tags are rolling out globally this week on PlayStation Store on the PlayStation 5 console. Accessibility tags allow game developers to provide detailed insights on accessibility features supported in their games. As you browse various game hubs on the PlayStation Store game hubs, all right, you'll see a list of accessibility features by pressing the triangle button if the game you select supports accessibility tags. These can range from visual and audio accessibility settings to DualSense options, difficulty settings, and online communication features like chat transcription. Here's a sampling of the more than 50 accessibility tags available for game developers to choose from across 6 categories. Visual accessibility features such as clear text, large text, color alternatives, audio cues, and directional audio indicators. Audio features such as volume controls, mono audio, screen reader, and visual cue alternatives. Subtitle and caption options, including subtitle size, clear captions, and large captions. Control options, including button remapping, thumbstick sensitivity, and ability to play without button holds, rapid button presses, or motion control. Gameplay options, such as difficulty settings, skippable puzzles, simplified quick time events, and game speed. Online communication options, such as text or voice chat transcription and ping communication. Accessibility tags on PlayStation Store for PlayStation 5 will gradually release for players this week.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, we read through all that because it's important. I don't think, we have much to add. It's a great feature. This is back to... Oh, man, I'd rather see them invest their time in a portable than a PSVR 2. I'd rather see them invest their time into this than cards or fucking accolades or all this other stuff. Like, I understand that that's an easier bullet point for what PlayStation 5 is doing and why it's different than PlayStation 4 and yada, yada, yada. This is more important, I think, for making the store a better place and a more accommodating place.
For sure, right? And I think it also speaks to accessibility being such a wide-ranging thing where, you know, like... I look at something like the subtitle options, and if I see that on the store page, I'm like, oh, cool. I can, like, change the size or change the clearness of the captions and all that stuff. Even that, like, you know, in games that we've played, we go into the menus. I know for you with trophy hunting, it is, if I can clear out the color of things that are non-interactable so I can get all these collectibles faster, then that even helps us versus somebody who might need to change control options or need to change visual options and all these things. This takes me back to, I think it was Steve Saylor who's talked about this in the past where... he would hit us up during or after preview events and be like, hey, did you check out these things in the menu? Like, they include these things? Because for people that need accessibility options, oftentimes beforehand, that stuff not being available, it means that, oh man, I need a rent, or I need to wait for people to talk about it, or I need to find the game on Game Pass, and you know, I have to test the waters before I know if I can even play this game.
Yeah.
That stuff being available in the store page and just with a click of a button, and like having that list of things that the game does to make it accessible, that's huge. That means you're saving money. That means you're saving time. That means that you're able to go to a game directly and go, oh, I can play this. And that's such a big thing.
Also incredible to see developers and publishers understanding that from the preview and review stance, right? Because, of course, Steve went to the Star Wars preview that Barrett went to, that we have the game cast up for, and he got to publish his preview that, of course, is anchored in accessibility. It's not just another preview that you can get and hear different opinions about. It is also that. And then, of course, this whole thing of, you know, a push for accessibility is great for people who need the options, but then it's also great for everyone to benefit from those options. Like, you're talking about collectibles, like so many people talk about with their eye, like Snowbike Mike, who refuses to wear glasses but still tries to put subtitles on. Like, there's so many different things in there that everybody can
like
use
difficulty settings, right? Like, that's a thing that is universally applicable. If you're somebody who does not feel, if you're somebody who, you know, the reason why you don't get into Souls games or Sifu or whatever, right, is because of how brutal those games are. If you're on the store perusing and you're like, oh, I want to check out this game, and you don't know that that game doesn't offer difficulty settings and it's a fucking hard game, you spend $30 on it and play it and you're like, damn, like, I can't play this thing, you know, you just wasted your time and money.
Totally.
And so these are things that are great for everybody, but also especially great for people that can benefit off of more of these features.
Barrett, can we find and see the Asus video from Radic?
All right, we're gonna try this again.
Asus,
everybody.
Once again, Asus.
Asus.
Thank you, Asus. We got it. We'll never make that mistake again. I think
we got it right.
We did. Well, we the interview got it right. Mm-hmm. Then we got back to it and then we used it. But just to put a pin in it, to finish it off, Asus. There you go, everybody. Well, sorry. In the Twitch chat, Rayman1090 says, I don't believe her. Shit.
We can never win. We can never
fake
win.
Fake news over here.
Oh, man.
Speaking of news, Greg Way, breaking news. Miyamoto is teasing future Mario news. Blessing, while we've been live, you threw this tweet in there. It has a video, Barrett, if you want to play it. It says, this is Stealth40K over on Twitter who breaks out this Variety video. Miyamoto told Variety to stay tuned to future Nintendo Directs for news on new Mario games. It's a 15-second video? Yeah. Can we look at that, Barrett?
Yeah. Barrett, I added it to the doc only recently, so there you go. See, he's on it.
Oh, he says,
that's why they call him B-roll Barrett Courtney.
Well, all I can say is, please stay tuned for future Nintendo Directs. And he looks off camera to make sure PR doesn't get him. Not that they could. Miyamoto's untouchable.
Somebody tackle Miyamoto. You can't now, say that, Miyamoto.
My question does that excite you? The chat is fucking popping off. But it's like, does that excite you?
Oh, 1,000%.
Don't we always? I mean,
it's a given.
Yeah.
It's a given, but it still excites me. I think the fact that Miyamoto says the words, like, look forward to future Directs, means that it's coming sooner than later.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a thing that we have to wait for 4 years for, or 3 years for. Look at Kevin through with the coffee.
Thank you, baby.
Salute.
Smells like it's going to caffeinate me. That'll do it. Trust me.
Do you think he put poison in there?
No, never. Now, do I think Kevin might have put a little bit of poison in it? And then I'll put a little bit more and a little bit more.
Oh,
Kevin, if Kevin's ever going to do anything to me with poison, it's going to be to make me stronger and invulnerable to poison, which I appreciate.
This is awesome. I'm so excited for...
Don't get me wrong. Mario. I want more Mario. I love a good Mario game. Mario Galaxy was game of the year that year, and it was destroyed by some stupid game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I want more. I want a Galaxy 2. I'd love to see a new take on 2D, whatever, that kind of stuff. You know, I'm down for more Mario.
This makes
but
me
I
think...
don't want to... I do not want to look at this and go, every Nintendo Direct now, I got to sit there and watch Tim Kitties get crushed.
And I think Miyamoto and his people know that. And this makes me think that... This makes me think that in the next year, we're going to get a new Mario announced. Maybe this is me being hopeful.
I mean, they definitely should, based on the fact that they have a hit movie coming out.
Yeah, and also for the fact that
everyone from Kinda Funny who went to see it stayed awake through.
Every single person stayed awake through Mario. But yeah, like, it's also been a while since Mario. And every year we get some form of new Mario, whether it be mainline, whether it be Mario Party, Mario Tennis, a sports game, whatever, right? Like, we're getting Mario stuff announced and released every single year.
See, Jared Meyer nails it. Will there ever be a new God of War? Well, make sure you stay tuned to State of Play, future State of Place.
But like, you know, like, I feel like we know how PR works, right? And we know how press works. And we know if,
but you know how the loose cannon known as Miyamoto works.
Do we know him as a loose cannon?
Nah, he's not. He's very.
Yeah, that's my thing. Is like, he's pretty tight-lipped, and he's pretty. I think he's pretty on point in terms of knowing what he should say and what he shouldn't say. I'm going to go as far as to say that I think we see a new Mario game announced this year. I think the smartest thing to do would be to do that coming off of a Mario movie that's probably going to be very successful if you can come around during either E3 time or sometime during the summer.
SGF time.
If you can come through during Jeff's time and possibly announce a new Mario game there and get people hype, right? Like, you want to ride that wave. Right now, the wave is flowing high. You just had a theme park go up, right? You had a theme park that you're able to expose to the world, right? And everybody's loving it and having a fantastic time. You got a movie that's about to blow up, that's about to take over the world. You want to announce a new Mario game sooner than later.
I
think it's gonna happen.
Okay. Do you think it'll happen? Or will it happen with the announcement of Switch 2 or whatever the hell it's going to be?
That's a really good question.
See,
really
that's all question. I got. All I got is good questions.
Really good question. I don't know. If I'm being honest, I just don't know. Okay, I think it could go either way. If the Switch 2 is coming sooner than later, then yeah. I think if it's coming with the Switch 2, you would want to announce it alongside a Switch 2.
Okay.
Which makes me think that maybe not. Makes me think that like maybe it doesn't. Maybe we get a Switch 2 version later, right? Or maybe it's not like prioritized as an exclusive launch title. Maybe it's a Breath of the Wild situation where it launches on both. My question more so is it going to be 2D or 3D? That's the thing I care about more because
Tim has some weird like.
He really wants 2D.
Yeah, but he has a whole thing. He gets into this like string theory of how they switch off and do this whole thing and what it would be.
Yeah. But also, Tim is known for his conspiracy theories.
And he's also just tired of the new Super Mario Brothers art style, which is fair. Yeah, we've had it since the Wii or whatever.
Yeah, understandable.
He's an exhausted man that loves Nintendo.
Raj Former in the chat, who's named after Raj from What's Happening, says 2D, not for me.
Wow. If it's another new Super Mario Brothers style title, I'm kind of with him. I'm like, I like those titles, but I don't need any more. We've gotten the peak of those. I don't need any more of that. Give me either a new art style, like Tim's talking about. What I want more so, though, is you mentioned Mario Galaxy 3 or whatever. I want Mario Odyssey 2.
That's what I meant. Chat corrected me.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I would love a Mario Odyssey 2 because I think there's so much left to explore in that world, right? There's so many things that were teased. If you look at that map, there's like an area that like looks like it could be Sunshine, and like I think you can explore that world more. People love that game. I think that game spoke to a lot of what people have wanted out of a new 3D Mario for a long time. So yeah, give me another one of those, especially if it's going to be on the Switch still. I think another one of those would work.
Well, I'll give you another one of those, but I'll also give you the information about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can watch all our other podcasts live as we record them a day before they come out anywhere else. And, of course, you can get dozens and dozens of exclusive shows like Kind of Feudy, Gregway, and, of course, The Shit List, all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But guess what, Jack? You're not listening to patreon.com/kindoffunny. And I know that sometimes Tim freaks out about curse words being close to the ads.
Yeah.
And I realized I just read your show that has a curse in the title. So I'm stalling a bit while I come out here. And while I do that, of course, I'll also remind you that it turns out What's Happening originally ran 1976 to 1979. What's Happening now, 85 to 88. So there was a good amount of time in there where they came back.
More like What's Happening then.
Well, now it is, yeah.
Yeah.
They need to bring it back now. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Evil Dead Rise for sponsoring this episode. You can get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. People are saying this movie is absolutely terrifying, and I personally can't wait to see it in a theater because there's you know, few things in life are as special as watching a real scary horror movie surrounded by people freaking out with you. Moving the action out of the woods and into the city, Evil Dead Rise tells a twisted tale of two estranged sisters played by Sullivan and Sutherland, whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, if I had a nickel, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. New Line Cinema and Renaissance Pictures present a return to the iconic horror franchise, and we are hitting entirely new levels of fear here with this one. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for this, but wow, you definitely should. You look like you need a little bit of fear in your life. And then you can go to Evil Dead Rise Movie .com to get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do. And you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use the code KINDAFUNNY. You can get 50% off two plus pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDAFUNNY at ShadyRays.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Doink, doink. Number three on the Roper Report, Devolver Digital acquires Doinksoft. This is Justin Carter at Game Developer. Devolver Digital has made another developer acquisition, this time for Doinksoft. The publisher made the announcement on Twitter, and this marks its first acquisition of 2023. In a separate video of its own, Doinksoft referred to itself as, quote, now Devolver's problem, end quote. Awesome. Founded in 2019, Doinksoft is best known for the 2019 game Gato Roboto. Since then, it and Devolver have had a good working relationship as they partnered again on 2022's physical-only game, Demon Throttle, and are due to repeat with Gunbrella later this year. Let's fucking go! Are you kidding me? Since its inception in 2009, Devolver has grown into a larger publishing space for indie developers. In 2022, this is awesome.
Yeah, right?
Sorry, I'll full stop. I'm in the middle of it. I threw it up. The tweet is, today, in a historic announcement, we are excited to announce that the world-renowned franchises and talented people at Doinksoft will be joining Team Devolver. And it's a photo of Devolver plus Doinksoft, and then it's Gato Roboto's key art, Demon Throttle's key art, Gunbrella's key art, and Red Dead Redemption 2's key art.
That's like, so funny.
Fuck yeah. Like, you know, Devolver has such an identity, you know what I mean? And just leans into it and never stops. And Doinksoft, we talked to them. Yeah, you were with us for the Gunbrella demo.
Yeah.
We talked to them at GDC and hung out with them. They're just cool people, the ones we hung out with. Anyway, though, let me finish the article. Since inception in 2009, Devolver has grown into a larger publishing space for indie developers. In 2020, it made its first acquisition with Serious Sam developer Crow Team, followed by publisher Good Shepherd Entertainment the following year. In 2021, Devolver acquired indie studios Nuriel of the Rain series, Firefly Studios, the Stronghold series, and Dodge Roll, Enter the Gungeon, another great game and another great developer.
Hell yeah, I'm all about this.
100%. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is always what we're talking about, of like, indie development is hard. Obviously, that's why you see people making the Game Pass deals, the PlayStation Plus deals, getting acquired deals, and I think Doinksoft is a great fit for Devolver and everything they do, and Devolver seems like such a great publisher to work with.
Yeah, I played Gato Roboto back when it dropped on Switch in, 2019? Yeah, 2019. And I had such fun with it, and it is the prototypical Devolver-style game where it's weird, it's indie, but also it speaks to a lot of my personal taste, right? Where it's like, it's fun to control, fun action-type gameplay. It's Metroidvania as well, right? But it's also short and bite-sized and really charming. Devolver really knows how to... Devolver really has a really good eye for games, right? Yeah, like, they know how to pick them. It's kind of what we talk about when we talk about the different... A lot of different indie publishers, I think, have their own identity. When we talk about Annapurna games, we know what we're talking about. Yeah. When you talk about Devolver games, you know what we're talking about, right? And the Devolver stuff, red, is basically bright red and violent and bloody. And that's the stuff that speaks to me. And so, yeah.
That's what I fucking love.
And that's what I love. I played the demo for Gunbrella when it dropped on Steam quite a few months ago. And really enjoyed it. Like, it's a demo that was so good that once I played... around 20 minutes, I put it down. And I was like, I'll play the rest when the game comes out. I don't want to spoil this for myself. And even watching, I think it was Tim playing it at the Nintendo thing, the event we went to. It was a reminder of, oh, yeah, this looks really good. This looks really fun. Like, the premise is really unique. And, yeah, again, the way the game controls in the animation is so Devolver. But also, it's very DoingSoft. And DoingSoft, as a developer themselves, have found their own niche that they're really good at, and which is impressive for being founded in 2019.
Yeah.
And so, good on you. Congratulations, all parties involved.
Congratulations, everybody. Number 4 on the Roper Report. Pokemon Stadium comes to Nintendo Switch next week. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.com. Pokemon Stadium. Well, it's the thing. Kevin came in, I think, during commercial break and said, is the coffee too strong? Mm. And I was like, a little bit, but it's good. But you could hear my voice speeding up and my heart rate increasing because I'm feeling the fucking power right now. How many scoops you put in, Kevin? Double it. Let's go. Pokemon Stadium will be the latest N64 game released for Nintendo Switch Online when it launches on April 12th. The classic game will also have online multiplayer functionality for the first time, letting players battle their teams of Kanto Pokemon with their friends over the internet. Alongside its multiplayer modes, Pokemon Stadium has a single-player section where players can take on 4 elite tournaments or head back to the red and blue days to challenge Kanto's best trainers and gym leader Castle. Finding success in both these modes will then unlock an ultimate challenge.
A couple thoughts. One, this is incredible. I'm very happy. Pokemon Stadium, fucking one of my favorite games on the N64. It was my first Pokemon game. Yeah, I'm going to say it was my first Pokemon game, if I remember correctly. I played the hell out of this game while I was also watching the anime at the same time as a kid. And so it was so fun watching the anime and being like, oh, I know that Pokemon from the game, right? And having immediate access to play as that Pokemon. That was such a special thing for me. But yeah, absolutely love this game. Nintendo, whenever they're putting out like the games that have multiplayer for Nintendo Switch Online, especially with the N64 games, they always tout a bullet point being online multiplayer function. That stuff's always garbage. It's always like it's so laggy, and it's basically the same as like if you're using what's the application on you wouldn't know this, the PC application, or you might know this, where you can like remote in and play. People use it for demos.
Google screen share.
Publishers have been using this for like preview events. At least they were during the I think I might have it on my
desktop. The chat's going to have it in 2 seconds.
Parsec. Yeah, it's basically the same as like parsecing into somebody else's Switch, and you're like, all right, cool. This is going to be laggy as hell.
Yeah,
and
sure,
like, it's not true online matchmaking, right? It's like just this feature that they've added blanket to all the multiplayer games that is not great. That said, I could see it working pretty fine for Pokemon battles because there's no like,
it's turn-based.
It's turn-based, right? There's not like Twitch movement. And so I could actually see myself using it for that and having a good time. That also said, one of the best things about Pokemon Stadium is the minigames, right? Online multiplayer, probably not great for that, but I'm so happy to have access to that because if I have friends over, Pokemon Stadium minigames were some of the most fun I think you could have with 4-player multiplayer on the N64. Like, it's such a good time.
That one cat with glasses was hitting the other cats in the head of the little mallets.
Exactly. I forget, was that the Eevee minigame? I forget what minigame. I didn't see when you brought it up, Barrett. But yeah, like all the minigames in there are really fun. My big request, it was Clefairy.
He called them little cats.
Yeah, the cat with glasses hitting the cats with the mouths.
Maybe it's because I've seen Clefairy too much. I don't see the cat features they're talking about.
Look at the ears and then the four legs.
Yeah, I get the ears.
And then the little face.
Listen,
these are all mutants. These are all fucking mutants you wouldn't pick up in the goddamn shelter. I'll tell you that right now.
I would for sure pick up Clefairy in the shelter.
This hairless cat?
No, it has hair. It's the graphics. It has hair.
Sure doesn't look like it. Looks like a little fleshy meatball right there.
It kind of does, yeah. Yeah, the N64 graphics aren't doing this much justice.
Half of these Pokemon came to life, shelters across the country would be up in their euthanasia bills by fucking millions of dollars.
Oh, no, not Clefairy.
Because no one's picking these things up.
Not Clefairy, no. No. Give me Pokemon Stadium 2. That's my request.
Okay, maybe you will. Maybe they will.
I hope so. Seems like we're going to get it at some point.
The good news is, of course, that yesterday we talked about Nintendo and DNA launching their joint venture Nintendo system, so I'm sure that'll improve the stability of dialing into each other's Switches in the future.
It won't. It will not.
It won't do that? Huh.
It won't.
Number 5. Naughty Dog is prioritizing The Last of Us PC fixes over Steam Deck compatibility. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. Naughty Dog has said it's prioritizing fixes for the PC version of The Last of Us Part 1 over any plans to get it running better on Steam Deck. A new Twitter thread from the official Naughty Dog accounts Naughty Dog account reads, quote, "A reminder that we will have a new hotfix live for The Last of Us Part 1 on PC Tuesday and a patch on Friday. We will share patch notes when the hotfix is live and let you know some of what to expect in Friday's patch ahead of its launch." It then adds, "And while we know many of you would like to play The Last of Us Part 1 on Steam Deck, we are prioritizing fixes and patches before submitting it for verification. We will keep you updated on the Steam Deck status as we continue to improve the PC version," end quote. Now, this is where it's a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. Okay? Last week, I was very vocal.
Very.
You got what you fucking deserve, PC players. All right, PC gamers, you could have played on your PlayStation or your PlayStation 5 at any time you wanted. You could have gone and played Last of Us Part 1. You waited and you waited and you waited. You got it. Guess what? Here's your lollipop. You're a sucker. Now, when they come for the Steam Deck, though, that's when I got a problem as a Steam Deck player. All right? You know, PC gamers, get fucked. PC Steam Deck players, hold on a second. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They're one and the same.
Naughty, man, are they not really? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. One of us is cool and, like, takes our PC gaming on the road. The other PC gamer going to their little dark hole. They go, "Oh, I want to play this thing right there, right?" I mean, time passes outside. Nobody knows what's happening outside.
If this gets clipped out, blur my face, Roger. I don't want them to know.
At the end of it, like, it's day three without a shower. Should I shower? No. They go climb into their little twin mattress bed. You know,
I've seen what they say in your replies. "I don't want this smoke. Take my face off screen, Bear. I'm not here. Hide my face."
Blessing writes all my dialogue, so you know how it is. That's what it is.
Yeah, this is freestyle. Show is scripted. This is all improv, this show. I only add the new stories.
No, we'll go back to it now. We'll be fine. But yeah, it's like, you know, we do what you got to do. You fucking, people bought this game, now fix it. You know what I mean? It sucks that we're still in this part of the video game development cycle of got to get it out. Fuck. All right, cool. We didn't see this coming. We didn't do it. I wonder how long it'll be until it's fixed. It still is, like, again, and I'm not even making excuses, of course, a percentage of it. And there is the, it runs out fine on this PC, not that PC, and yada, da, 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 da. Like, I wonder really how bad it is. I'm glad that, of course, they're trying to fix it. Of course, it sucks that anybody can't play the game they paid for, or it looks like garbage when they play it.
Can you get this? Can you get Last of Us Part 1 on the GOG store? GOG is the one that's, like, owned by CD Projekt, right? If you can, chat, this is a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. It would be hilarious if GOG was like, "Oh, we got to get this off the store. This shit isn't running. Like, take it off the take off Last of Us Part 1 off the store."
I sincerely doubt it's up there, but that would be hilarious.
That would be fucking hilarious.
What a great one. Yeah.
But yeah, fix it. I dream of a world where games coming to PC just automatically worked on Steam Deck. Like, the game comes to Steam. And
that was something we didn't talk about when we were talking about the other handheld of, like, again, there might, I what I read about the new handheld from Asus, is the first I heard about it, and I watched a little bit of the trailer. Did they talk about Steam compatibility? Did they talk, like,
no?
One of the things I love about Steam and the Steam Deck is, oh, this game's on Steam and it's, and I want to play it on my Steam Deck. Going there and see, is it, you know, Steam Deck compatible? Is it, you know, is it verified, or is it just got the little exclamation or the red thing? It's like, I like that idea. For me, going into a different handheld for PC gaming and then being like, well, wait, does this?
Yeah, having tested
trust
out.
I can't trust the Steam Deck compatibility with it, or yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Bander SN says, "Oh my god, it is on GOG."
I'm gonna tweet at GOG and be like, "Hey guys, I have an idea. If you want to get back at PlayStation."
Now, people, of course, are understandably dunking on me, of course, like, Solpistis? I don't know how you pronounce your name. "Lol, it's a Windows machine, ... which means ... it's Steam compatible, lol." Totally. But again, does that, like, well,
what's the actual optimization there?
Is Steam, yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Bear, for saying a smarter way than me, where I'm just like, I'm sure there's a difference. There is a difference between this and the Steam Deck, and will there be some kind of thing where sometimes it isn't compatible? I just like,
will it run on my machine? That's all I want to know.
I, you know, my problem with PC gaming, and let's be very clear, we're stepping away from the Greg joke character in TikToks, right? My problem with PC gaming is all the variables. And so I do appreciate having a machine from Steam that I can look at Steam and it'll say this will work on Steam Deck.
Yeah.
I like that. And so adding in another variable of, like, well, it's not fully, so will this thing, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's all I'm saying. Take it as you will. Again, you can all, you know.
I understand what you're saying, Greg.
Back to characters, you know, just fuck all you PC gamers, all right? I'm just saying it. But again, yeah, Naughty Dog, I'm glad they're fixing this. They shouldn't have been released in this state. Something else that got lost, I think, in the joke characters last year of, like, well, no, we're on your side, gamers. Like, it sucks that you bought this and it doesn't work, but we will wait and see as Naughty Dog continues to work on it. Number six and final on the Roper Report. A new Xbox Remix controller is made from old parts, CDs, and water jugs. Awesome. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Microsoft has announced the Xbox Wireless Controller Remix Special Edition. Created to celebrate Earth Day this month, Microsoft says this controller features recovered plastics, with one-third of it made from regrind and reclaimed materials. Launching on April 18th and available to pre-order now for $84.99, the controller is the result of Xbox exploring ways to use less new plastic and reduce waste when creating accessories. Made partially from old Xbox One controller parts and CDs, it blends various earth tone colors, features a side grip with a topographic texture pattern, and includes a rechargeable battery pack. Wow!
Wow.
Wow. Hold on. PC gamers, you're off the hook. Let's talk to you fucking Xbox. All right? Wow. How long has the PlayStation been charging your controller for you? While Phil Spencer over there goes, Earth can die for all I care, and you're just shooting AA batteries into the trash can.
I remove myself from this narrative. Because there was one day where I think I mentioned, I'm like, oh yeah, I prefer recharging my PS5 controller over having to get DualSense.
Why don't you just buy rechargeable batteries, yeah. You blessing Greg?
And it's the
why like, did you fucking include them, Xbox?
I'm like, why? I just don't like buying AA batteries. I don't know, man.
We like the planet.
I don't know.
When Ben's my age, I don't want him sitting on a throne or AA batteries no one ever wanted, you know? Back to the
thing. Now I remove myself from the narrative.
Quote, mixing post-consumer recycled resins with regrind, consisting of previous molded, this doesn't matter. We understand already. It's just a thing.
Now,
this
of course,
is cool. This is really cool.
The thing that people throw back, of course, is like, well, how long does your PlayStation controller last? Which is fair. I just want the best of both worlds.
It lasts fine.
Yeah. Like, if I can have something that lasts longer and then also recharges, that's my dream. That's my
first
dream
off, you're right a lot. There. You're all like, oh, how long does it last? First off, fuck you. You know you have two. I have two. I'm sitting on the. I have multiple PlayStation 5 controllers. I have two sitting on the dock at any time.
We're in a privileged places. Those DualSense controllers cost at least $800.
I assure you, I have met the psychotic Xbox fan that is Gary Whitta and Mike. And you can act like, oh, we're in a privileged spot. Mike buys everything.
No, that's fair.
Mike keeps buying Elite controllers for some reason, all right? I guarantee most of these Xbox are looking at it going, I'm going to buy a new controller. Oh, it's got a new color. It's Mountain Dew flavor. They're going to buy this goddamn thing.
I love the Mountain Dew flavor,
okay,
yeah.
I love
Mike
it.
Mike and Gary both very extreme, you know?
Listen, Barrett.
Yeah.
I love you and I respect your opinion.
I don't
when there's no games coming to your console, you just take that money and you buy controllers. That is what Xbox do.
I mean, fair.
I'm not
you
here.
Got me, Greg. You fucking got me.
Blur
I'm
my
with
face
you on
watch.
That one.
Bless.
Greg.
I'm excited to see what these lonely, unwashed Xbox fans can buy one day on their system. But that thing's so far away.
Why couldn't Tim be on this website?
If I wanted to see what came to the mom and drop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, Creed Rise to Glory Championship Edition is on PlayStation VR 2. Grim Grimoire Once More is on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and Switch. A game I adored on PS2 when I reviewed it back in the day at IGN.
Grim Grimoire?
Yeah.
Wow, I never heard of that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Wait, were these not the out today for yesterday?
You know?
We definitely talked about Creed yesterday, but the rest seemed to be on...
Sometimes there will be like if
there's bleed over.
Yeah, because I pull from different sites, and so there might
just read them. And you know, if nobody calls it on it, you're fine. Hogwarts Legacy is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Meet Your Maker is on all the PlayStations, all the Xbox and PC. Of course, we did a sponsored stream with them today. You should go check out. They just were kind of funny best friends. And they're like, we want to show the game on your channel, so they came and showed it on our channel, which was cool. But of course, it's out today. It's also on PlayStation Plus. Road 96 Mile Zero is on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, Switch, and
PC.
Did
you know about that?
Road 96 Mile Zero?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a prequel to the original Road 96.
Yeah.
I completely missed that.
I didn't love Road 96.
Okay.
Yeah, Janet really did. I didn't vibe with me. Fire Emblem Engage Expansion Pass Wave 4 is on Switch. Pass Partout 2, The Lost Artist, is on PC. The Game of Fortune is on PC. And Atari Mania is on PS4 and PS5. I laughed because I thought you were putting your hood back up because there was like you knew something was coming I was going to dunk on.
No.
It's like a preemptive guide. New dates for you. Quantum Break is leaving Game Pass. Remedy Entertainment tweets, don't worry, Quantum Break will be coming back to Game Pass. Okay. It is being temporarily moved due to some licenses that expired that we are in the process of renewing. We will let you know as soon as it is back. Deals of the day for you. Xbox Game Pass games for April have been announced. Loop Hero arrives April 4th on console and PC. On April 6th, you'll get on PC Everspace 2, and then on console and cloud, Iron Brigade. April 12th, you'll see Ghostwire Tokyo show up on console, PC, and cloud. April 13th, we'll bring NHL 23 to console. April 18th, we'll see Minecraft Legends on console, PC, and cloud. April 20th, we'll give you Coffee Talk Episode 2, Hibiscus and Butterfly on console, PC, and cloud. Really like Coffee Talk 1. We'll see what happens here. Then on my birthday, April 27th, you'll get The Last Case of Benedict Fox on console, PC, and cloud. And then at some point, Homestead Arcana will launch on on PC in April.
I know Tim is very, and Barrett sounds like a bit very excited for The Last Case with Benedict Fox.
Looks rad as hell.
Yeah. What was that? It said it like invokes the vibes of that one game that y'all loved from a couple falls ago, the 2D musical game.
Oh,
where there's the guitar and the cool vibes.
Yeah.
And the no
that's
gameplay.
That's not really the vibe that I got from
no?
it.
No? Okay.
I also wasn't in love with that game either. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's blanking on me, but
Artful Escape.
Artful Escape. Yeah, no, I don't really get that vibe from it other
than gotcha.
It's slightly 2D and side-scrolly.
Well, we'll have to see. I you know what? I think I made the connection because I think Tim said that this might be his Artful Escape of this year.
Gotcha.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
We ask you, of course, to be part of the show by writing in for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD about the news of the day. And, of course, if you want to squad up with some fellow Kind of Funny best friends. Tom does, and he wants to meet you at Star Wars Celebration. Sup, Trogs? I'm going to be at Star Wars Celebration in London this Friday and Saturday and would love to see any KFBFs that are there. I'm a generic white man with a beard, but I'll be dressed as C-3PO, parentheses. Well, I'll have one red arm, but that's good enough, end parentheses. And I have a Kind of Funny lanyard, if you happen to get that close. Tweet at Jedberg111. That's J-E-D-B-E-R-G 111. And we'll sort something out. If you're going to London and you're going to Star Wars Celebration, look for Tom and his red arm and hit up Jedberg111.
Hell yeah.
Is Anthony Carboni going to that?
I mean, why are you asking me? I don't know.
You follow Carboni.
I mean, I feel like Barrett might be closer to Carboni. Barrett, is Carboni going to that?
Yeah?
We'll check it out.
I mean, that seems like something he'd do.
It does, right?
I mean, I feel like he might be the main host.
I think he might. Yeah, it's usually how it goes, right?
Yeah.
Carboni.
This is just me and him, you know, alternating. D23 and Star Wars Celebration.
Don't worry about that. No.
They say we're twin flames. The Spider Bros.
They call you the Spider
Bros. The average height above average guys. It's me and Carboni. We both look good and dress good. He looks better and dresses better, but...
Okay, Carboni is going. People are saying he... Like, I knew he was going, but I didn't know if that was public information.
Sure. Well, maybe they just baited you, you dumbass. Did you ever think of that?
Wow.
They got you.
We have a bunch of corrections that... Bander SN corrects his own thing. It says, I was wrong. Last of Us Part 1 is not on GOG. So there you go. You know what I mean? That's how easily you just got baited. Good job, Barrett. You better hope and fucking pray. You know what I mean?
Pray for? He was tweeting about not being ready for his flight, so.
Well, like I said, you better hope and pray.
He's probably on his flight right now.
You think so?
No.
Friday's,
I mean, if it
maybe.
Rings,
I don't fucking know.
If it rings,
I'm
probably not.
We ask you if you're watching live, of course, to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Keep us honest. Tell us what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Kebabs actually breaks new information to me. Pokemon are technically aliens since the anime revealed they came to Earth via an asteroid.
Really? I don't think
anybody, is that true?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
I knew there was a Pokemon god. It was called what? Called Deoxys?
Anthony Carboni, you're on Kind of Funny Games Daily. How are you?
I'm good. I'm buying a bagel sandwich, Greg Miller. I don't have time to be razzed by you. What's going on?
No, there's no razzing. I just want to know, are you going to the London Star Wars Celebration?
That's the one.
Okay, cool. Well, everybody's going to be looking out for you. Jedberg is going to be there. If you see a guy with a white, he's white and he's got a beard and a red arm, that's Jedberg.
Okay. So I'm looking for a white guy with a beard at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, a red arm. That'll be the big part. If you get close to him, he'll have a Kind of Funny lanyard, I think I read. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Look for Jedberg.
I'm going to look for him.
All right. Thank you.
All right. No worries, man.
All right. Bye. Hey, did you know Pokemon are aliens?
Almost got him.
Nano has a bunch of corrections because, of course, Nano's always on top of it. And maybe some additional information more than corrections. Per the Raj Ally announcement, the OS is still in development but can link up with Steam, Origin, Epic, and Game Pass. Okay.
Cool.
Fuck yeah. Then he says, to clarify, the rechargeable battery in the new Xbox controller is removable and is the same one being sold since the Series X/S release. It's not built in like the PS5 controller. That doesn't matter to me. I appreciate you giving me more information, as long as for once Xbox looks out for Mother Earth rather than poisoning her, as they have for several console generations, I'll be happy. Nana pops in and says, Hogwarts Legacy PS4 and Xbox One were actually delayed to May 5th. It's not out today. And then now Nano, oh, I shut off my own computer. Hold on. Nano's back and says, no, Pokemon aren't aliens. Some Pokemons came from space, like Deoxys and Clefairy.
That's what I was trying to think of. Deoxys.
Clefairy.
Oh, and Clefairy. So Deoxys, Clefairies, and Clefairy.
No. Yep.
And now we will move on to letting you know that the rest of the hosts look like this week. Wednesday, Blessing and Mike are going to be hosting. Thursday, Blessing and Tim are hosting. Friday, Tim and Blessing are hosting. You might say, wow, Mike is going to be on Kind of Funny Games Daily. You don't see that often. I wonder where Greg's going to be. I have to go watch Mario.
Okay. You know? Okay.
I'd much rather hang out and talk video games than go watch Mario. And not that I think Mario's going to be a bad movie. It's just like, you know.
How dare you?
I got to go to movies at 9:30 in the morning. Can I even eat popcorn then? I will.
This is the year of cinema. All right. You think the video games are exciting this year? Wait till you see Barbie.
I'm a Barbie girl.
Gonna change your life.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video games you didn't know about. If you like that, of course, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Kevin, the coffee is strong, and it's feeling good, brother. All right? I'm still trying to ride the lightning of the words coming out of my mouth, but I'm feeling it, all right? Of course, patreon.com/kindoffunny would give you each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. It would give you the ability to watch us as we record the podcast live a day early before anybody else. And of course, you could get dozens and dozens of bonus content, like Kind of Feudy, which we're recording today, all over on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
I will say, it is a new season of Kind of Feudy.
Yeah.
And we're doing something special this season. Okay. Stay tuned for that.
I'm going to stay tuned, everybody. Of course, you can get this show for free with ads, youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast services around the globe. No matter where you choose to support Kind of Funny, maybe you're using that Epic Creator Code, maybe you're like, subscribing, sharing, maybe you're just here live watching with us. We couldn't do it without you, and we thank you for your support. Until next time, I just realized I've been looking at the wrong camera for a while. It's been our pleasure to serve you.